Our psalm reading this morning is from Psalm 1. Listen for the word of the Lord. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And for the good gifts that you bestow on those who meditate on it. Guide us in our meditation this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought we'd talk about scoffers this morning. When you look at Psalm 1, happy are those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. And if you look at that verse, who here, by show of hands, is just really into taking the advice of the wicked? You just like call up a wicked person, and you're like, hey, what do I do about this situation? Who's into taking the path that sinners tread? Just walking in the way of sinners. Anybody really into walking in the way of sinners? Okay, I didn't think so. Sitting in the seat of scoffers, though. That's a very comfortable chair. What's a scoffer? We don't say the word scoffer a lot, do we? Scoffers. Merriam-Webster, and all of you former English teachers are probably horrified. Merriam-Webster defines scoffing as to show contempt by derisive acts or language, or the way I would describe it is scoffing is to try to make someone or something small. It's kind of a shrink ray. It makes stuff smaller. Like, if you ever hear of somebody putting together some kind of great technical or technological achievement, they're like, it can never be done. That's the scoffer, right? You'll never get it done. Or it could have something to do with maybe satire a little bit. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I used to attend a church where one raises one's hands in worship during some of the songs, and I encountered this lovely thing. This is Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. He had official worship signs. So you got the elbow flap here, or, you know, if you see someone there that carry the TV, or just the various ways, it's on a chart, sort of making fun of or making light of the ways that people raise their hands in worship in various different ways. And that started making me, I think, a little less comfortable doing something that was meaningful, but made me a little self-conscious. Scoffing is fun, but it also kind of makes people who it's directed at feel smaller. Another one is sports ball. I have long not been a huge fan of watching other people play sports. And I know in Pittsburgh that would have gotten me in trouble because Steelers are everywhere and you have to, like, if you don't support the Steelers. I had one pastor who got in big trouble because on game day he wore a Buffalo Bills t-shirt. Okay, it wasn't big trouble because nobody thought they had a chance. But I always kind of felt left out. And I know that that's helped me here because I've never been on the side of any sports team that anybody here doesn't like, right? And I know around here that could get you in more trouble than being Republican or Democrat. So I've sort of scoffed at it, and there's a comic where it gets called sports ball, and the athletes like, we sportsed really hard out there. Well, how did you win? Well, we sportsed harder than the other team. And it was like, okay. But one of my friends, Dara, really loves football and baseball and watching sports and stuff. And every year, annually, she posts, this is my annual reminder that some of us really like sports and stop being mean to us, basically. And it was weird to me because I was like, everybody likes sports, right? And I'm like the odd person out, but she's in a weird subculture where making fun of sports is cool. Scoffing. You get the sense, it's not fun to be in the seat that the scoffers are making fun of, right? This is probably the most publicly I've ever said this, but I like country music. And a lot of people will say that country music is just, what is it, girls, trucks, and tractors, is that right? And which is why I never tell anybody, except for today. Or like Christian music, that's like, country music is the respectable stuff that if somebody's like, well, what kind of music do you like? I don't listen to country music. I don't tell people that I like appreciate some of the Christian music that they play on the radio, because that is really, like, there's an app called Spotify that lets you play music, and they're like, share your playlist, share what you're listening with us. I was like, nope, don't want that. Not going to share that. I don't want people to know the kind of weird music that I like, because I worry that people will scoff at me. Right? But the problem with scoffing is, I like scoffing. Like, I don't like scoffing being directed at me, but I like doing it. Especially at Christianity Gone Awry, there was a guy who made a website called Stuff Fundies Like that made fun of fundamentalists, which was really challenging for a lot of us who grew up in that culture, and he shared, someone said that there's too much scoffing going around, and he replied, and eventually they interviewed him, and he said, he described it this way. He said, imagine for a moment you're a child who every night as he lies in bed is terrorized by a terrible monster. In this case, it was the sense that, the fear that maybe you didn't mean the prayer and you're going to hell. One day you grow up, you leave home, you don't talk about the monster because nobody else believes it's real. Surely you've only imagined it. Then one day you find a website, like the website that he ran, where someone has taken pictures of the monster you used to fear and posted them, adorned by funny mustaches. The monster that used to scare you, but now you can laugh at it. The laughter's therapeutic. The laughter conquers your fear. And then you find there are hundreds of other people who were terrorized for years by this monster and others like it. And now they laugh at it too. And you know, finally, you're not alone. I should put a spoiler here. I don't know if I'm going to have I don't think I'm going to be able to come down one way or the other on, well, it's never okay to scoff at people. Because I satire can be kind of a shrink ray that shrinks stuff that's big and scary down to size. One of my brothers wrote some terrific satire about my family life, and it felt wonderful to laugh at something that would have been so scary and wild for such a long time. Like, every time I read it, I just laugh. And I told my brother, I'm not going to share any of it with you because you wouldn't get it. Like, you didn't live through that stuff, and it would take way too long to explain for it to be funny. You know, you've seen stuff. You've seen satire. Like I said, I enjoy satire. Who doesn't like watching somebody they disagree with get skewered real good? Like, one of my favorites is Alexandra Petri. She writes for the Washington Post. And the only thing that I like about political debates, like, you know, the presidential year where there's the debates and everyone's trying to outdo themselves at being ridiculous. And Alexandra Petri, the next morning, has always published her write-up of the debate. And it is hilarious. Just making fun of everybody, doesn't matter who they are, in politics there. And I've even laughed at Christianity with the assistance of some satire. There was a comedy called Good Omens that a bunch of Christians tried to get taken off of Netflix. It was on Amazon Prime. But I thought it was funny because I didn't feel like what they were making fun of was my faith. They were making fun of Christianity, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like they were making fun of what I believed. And I've, if I'm being honest, I've done satire. I've actually written satire. Like a couple of years ago, a pastor named John Piper wrote did a podcast or something about should women be allowed to teach seminary? Because if women are teaching seminary, then they're sort of exercising authority over men who are going to be pastors. And I was like, and you know, women can't be pastors. And so I wrote an article about should women be pastor, or should women teach in seminary? And I sort of went through a bunch of Bible verses and concluded, and I was like, maybe men shouldn't be pastors. I don't know. And it was satire. It was sort of making light of John Piper and his response to that. So, like I said, I enjoy a good scoff. And it's really easy to fall into a good scoff. Like, just this past week, I was looking at the songs, and I saw the Church in the Wildwood in our song list, and I was like, and that's the sound of scoffing. Come on. And so I thought, you know what, I'll just look that up. Since I'm thinking about scoffing and maybe doing that a little less, let's look it up. And it was a really interesting story of how a singer saw this spot where he thought would be really great for a little brown church, and then he wrote that song. And then came back years later and someone had actually built a little brown church there. Such a fascinating story. And so many people maybe don't have a little brown church, or maybe it's a little church like this, or maybe the church is a little bigger. But there's that feeling, right, that he captured in that song. The thing about Psalm 1 is it doesn't forbid scoffing. It doesn't say don't ever do it. I think I've got it here. Oh well. It doesn't say don't ever scoff. It says happy is the man, or perhaps the person, who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. A steady diet of scoffing, I'm going to propose, is not healthy. I think it's good from time to time in reasonable, limited amounts. But like social media in general, just wants to feed us a steady, unhealthy diet of scoffing. Anybody turn cynical from scoffing? Sitting in the seat of scoffers, when it becomes a place where you're living, it's got its place, but it's not a place to live for years on end. I would say that maybe there's a little bit of poison in the seat of scoffing. I should have brought a chair up here. There's a little poison in the seat of scoffing, and if you hang out there too long, you get the poison on you and into you. And it's powerful, right? It shrinks up big, scary stuff into something small that you can laugh about. But when you think of a scoffer, not someone who's scoffing, but a scoffer, you know, someone who does it all the time, you don't think of somebody who's living life with their arms and their heart wide open, right? You think of somebody who's just sort of cynical and sarcastic and toxic. You don't think of someone who's delighted. Anybody think of scoffer and delight? How well does scoffing and delight fit? No, not so much. Scoffers aren't delighted. Scoffers scoff at things that could delight them. But the next verse, which I don't have. Do you have that, Michael? Psalm 1? Yeah, or the first slide in my PowerPoint. Actually, verse 2. Yeah, that's a ways back. It says, happy are those who don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Met a happy scoffer? You're laughing, and it's sort of short term, but are you happy? Look at Psalm 1:2. Happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And what's the law of the Lord? Well, what did Jesus say the law was? How do you sum it all up? Love God, love your neighbor. Don't think of a scoffer as someone who is... You don't think of scoffers. When you think of scoffers, you don't think of lovers. And it's because it's hard to scoff at somebody and love them at the same time. I've seen it done, but it's really hard. And maybe the person who's being scoffed at doesn't feel like it's love. The thing, though, is that scoffing is easy. Scoffing is really easy. And like I said, it's hard because I enjoy a good scoff. And I've written some scoffs that people have read and gone, it felt good to laugh at that on a hard day like this. But maybe it's not somewhere we should live. Scoffing's easy. Sincerity and earnestness are hard. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. Let's pray. God, as we continue to think about scoffing and its place in our lives and in our hearts, please help us to hear where you've called us to go and live our lives with our arms and our hearts wide open, with delight and with love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.